Grace and peace be to you through the knowledge of God, our Heavenly Father, and through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for consideration on this Trinity Sunday is recorded in John's Gospel, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 to 17. And the congregation may be seated for the text. I read there in John chapter 3, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.' 'How can a man be born when he's old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.' 'How can this be?' Nicodemus asked. 'You are Israel's teacher,' said Jesus, 'and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." So far the text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear Christian friends, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. That's what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans, the confession he made to the Christians who lived in that city. And he speaks about the incomprehensible greatness of the triune God. He's so great, so powerful that no puny human can measure the wealth of his wisdom or trace out his steps. Nobody can fathom his power. And certainly on no Sunday of the church year is this brought home to us more forcefully than this Sunday, Holy Trinity, the day when we contemplate the mysterious doctrine of our triune God, that there are three persons in the Godhead, yet only one true God. The triune God, we pray for his blessing today as we consider another sublime teaching of Holy Scripture, the one that Jesus presents here in our text concerning our being born again into the family of the triune God. We'll first talk about what it means to be born again, then why everybody needs to be born again in order to be saved, and finally, how our almighty triune God makes this miracle happen. The text before us relates the story of this man Nicodemus, his visit with Jesus. He was a member, this Nicodemus, of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin. He was also a Pharisee, part of that Jewish religious sect. It seems that Nicodemus, his curiosity had been piqued because of the things that he had been hearing about Jesus and the miracles that he is reported to have done. And so one night, in order to learn more about Jesus, he came for a visit. And it was in the course of Jesus' visit with Nicodemus that the Lord said something that really knocked off the socks of Nicodemus. He said, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." Totally floored by that statement of Christ, not understanding what the Lord was talking about, Nicodemus asked, "How can people be born again when they're old? Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's body to be reborn, can they?" The Lord went on to help Nicodemus to a true understanding of what he was really talking about. He wasn't talking about being born again in a physical sense, which of course would be a very absurd notion, the very idea of going back into your mother's body and being reborn physically another time. But no, Jesus was saying that just as your mother gave you physical life and brought you into the physical world on the day of your birth, that you might experience life in the physical universe, even so, to enjoy spiritual life, which means a loving relationship with your God, peaceful relationship that starts here and continues on forever in heaven, you need to undergo a spiritual birth. Your way of thinking and believing, you're thinking about sin and death, and how you get saved and rescued from sin and death, needs to be completely overhauled, transformed and changed. Another word that the Bible uses to describe this stupendous miracle of God's grace is called regeneration, which is the same thing, just another word, rebirth, regeneration. Paul talks about it in his letter to Titus when he wrote, "When the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Christ our Savior." Peter also wrote about this wonderful teaching of the Bible, and he wrote in one of his letters, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." So, in the Bible, this matter of being reborn, regenerated, that designates what happens in our hearts by the power of God when he leads us to trust that Jesus lived his life for me in perfection, died on the cross for me to atone for my sins, and rose again as the stamp of approval from God that, yes, I am justified and saved. That's what it means to be born again. There are a lot of different and strange ideas. You may have heard some of them that different religious groups have in the world about this matter of being born again. Some mistakenly believe that being born again means you need to undergo a special religious experience, a particular and specific time that you can point to in your life when you got saved or when you got religion. Some think that being born again means that you've arrived at a point in your life and you've finally become a super sanctified, spirit-filled Christian and achieved a level of holiness in your life beyond that of ordinary Christians. So maybe you can even speak in tongues and perform faith healings. The Bible doesn't teach that two-tiered system anywhere for being a Christian. There's Christians, And then there's born again Christians. No, in the biblical use of that term, the truth is that every Christian is born again, because Christians are simply people who have been turned from unbelief to faith in Christ. And that's what Jesus was talking about to Nicodemus that night. To enter into God's kingdom, to be saved, Nicodemus, you need to believe in me. That's the section where that John 3:16 passage falls that we know so well. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. So why does everybody need to be born again in the true sense of the Bible in order to be saved? Well, Jesus answers this for us also in His discussion that night with Nicodemus, when He said that which is born of the flesh is flesh. All people since the time of Adam and Eve are born with a sin nature, or sometimes called an old Adam, passed down to them from their parents. All people are born with like an incurable, fatal spiritual disease that they can't rid themselves of on their own, and unless there were some outside help given to them, would be destined to die eternally in hell. That's what David lamented in Psalm 51. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. It's what God told Noah in the days of the flood. The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And we heard Isaiah's lament in our Old Testament lesson. Woe is me, I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the Holy Lord, the Triune God, the King Almighty. How will I ever survive? Paul wrote to the Ephesians, same thought in different words, you were dead in trespasses and sins. And we all were by nature objects of God's wrath. With our whole nature corrupted by sin from our birth, with our wills turned only against our Creator by nature, with our understanding darkened in regard to all the things of God, the truth of God and what He does to save us, how could we ever hope to be saved and enter our holy God's presence if it were up to us? I like the picture I ran across recently of a dead car battery. They have no ability to turn over and crank a car engine and get it moving down the highway. A dead battery is only good to be tossed out into the junk pile unless somehow it can get charged up. Like a couple months ago, I left my headlights on in the car in the garage, and I ran down my battery and got it behind the steering wheel, and nothing. And I turned on the key. Well, maybe if I wait overnight, it'll turn on in the morning. Nope. I had to use a charger to get the battery charged back up again. Similarly, we being dead in sin were destined for the junk pile of eternal perdition in hell, unable to get ourselves going spiritually to bring ourselves into God's family on our own, could not change ourselves into a people who trust in Jesus on our own, love Him and serve Him, couldn't get ourselves among the group of those who are heading down the highway that leads finally to our Father's home in heaven. We couldn't generate any life within ourselves on our own. So, our loving God decided to do that for us in a very miraculous way by causing us to be regenerated and born again, brought to faith in Christ. So how does He do it? How does He make our God give us this new birth? Again, we see how the Lord answers the question in our text when He told Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. clear reference to holy baptism. The Lord uses water, the Word of God connected to the water of holy baptism, both in the case of infants and in the case of adults, to bring about this miracle. Again, that reference of Paul to Titus that we shared earlier. He wrote, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. And I'm also mindful of the sermon that Peter preached on Pentecost Sunday to the crowd that was so troubled over what's going to happen to us. We crucified the Lord of glory. What shall we do? They were cut to the heart. They thought, you know, like Isaiah, woe is me, we're undone. We're never going to get to heaven. What can we do? Well, Peter answered. He said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And who is the promise for? The promise is for you and also for your children. Baptism is for everybody. And that's what the Lord uses. He does not mysteriously zap people in some mysterious way with the new birth. He uses His Word and the sacraments. And that is a source of great comfort for us to know that. Jesus, in His discussion with Nicodemus that night, left out of the picture of our being saved and reborn and regenerated any of our own workings or efforts or strivings completely. Jesus did not say to Nicodemus, you must be born again by praying harder or by striving to lead a better life. He simply said, Nicodemus, you need to be born of water and the Spirit by the gracious working of your merciful, faithful, and all-loving triune God. And we know that the Lord performed that miracle in the case of Nicodemus, for he was the one, as you know later on in the Passion story, along with Joseph of Arimathea, were the two men that had the courage to go and take down the body of Jesus from the cross and bury it before Jesus then rose from the dead on Easter morning. And dear friends, if the question should ever arise in your mind, but how can I know for sure that I have been born again, that I am a regenerated child of God, saved, and that I'm on the road to heaven? The Bible's answer is, do not look inside yourself for that certainty, to your inner feelings or emotions, which are so unreliable and they fluctuate from day to day, forming no solid rock for your confidence. But remember that your faith, not built on feelings any given time or day, but on the solid rock of Christ and His promises to you in Holy Scripture, which are rock solid. So whenever you need assurance or reassurance that you have been born again, that you're a born-again Christian, go simply to the promises of Jesus' Word. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Another beautiful passage is Galatians 3, verse 26. You are all the children of God. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You're dressed in Jesus' righteousness, by which you shall stand unashamed on that day when He comes back to bring you home. So thanks be to your blessed triune God for blessing you with a new birth. May the Holy Spirit, by the Word, by the power of your baptism, preserve, sustain, and strengthen you in this new life that He has graciously created within you until that day when we stand before Him and view our triune God in all His glory in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit.